We are now live.
All right. Well, welcome everyone. I now call this meeting to order. This is the Transit District Board of Directors work session. Today's Wednesday, November 2nd, 2022. Although we have this meeting slated to go until 6:30 p.m., I anticipate we'll be getting out before then. So I'm going to go ahead and start with roll call. Michelle Weber.
Here.
Thank you, Michelle. Susan Cox?
Here.
Thank you. Don Norden?
Here.
Thank you, Pete Knox?
Here.
Thank you. And Gino Grimaldi?
Here.
All right, thank you. So for our first order, agenda item, comments from the board president, I just want to take a chance to recognize two people. One who's actually, unfortunately, not in the room. Kalina Beard is a finalist for Women Leader of the Year through Women Business Leaders. Kalina is recognized for her work, not just at LTD, but also on the United Way Board of Directors and with the Racial Justice Fund. Kalina has done so much to advance DEI work, not just at LTD, but within this community. And please tell her congratulations when you see her. And also, Kalina has been a very dedicated employee to LTD for many years. And please pass on the board's appreciation of her work. And her commitment. We're so excited she's staying in the community and for her new opportunity and to watch her grow and thrive. And this is the awkward part. I'm also up for Leader of the Year. So the reason I bring that up is, you know, LTD has some great visibility in this community. And this is just a representation of really the impact that the work is having on the community. And people are noticing what LTD is doing. And so I'm just merely a representation of all of your work, which I said before. And I just want to thank all of the staff here and staff that aren't here for giving me the opportunity and the honor of serving as your board chair. So Kalina and I duke it out next Thursday. Just kidding.
Arm wrestling.
Arm wrestling. But please, if you can, just give her congratulations and know that we are going in this as friends, and we're all just rooting for each other. And whatever the outcome is, actually the other person that is nominated is my nanny's mom. So no matter what, someone great is going to win. And then the other person I want to recognize is actually right here to my left, Mark Johnson, who has been a dedicated interim CEO for the last year. How long has it been?
Over a year.
And
longer than I signed up for.
Yeah, longer than you signed up for. Well, we got the right fit and things worked out in the best possible way. But honestly, Mark, we are just so appreciative of everything you've done and your leadership and everything that you have endured over the past year and help us navigate through. And if anyone at this board wishes to thank Mark at this time, this would be the moment to do so.
Thank you, Mark.
There you go. You're welcome. Enough said. I appreciate that.
Thank you, Mark. It's been a pleasure working with
you. You could. I'm still around for a little while.
Great to have you present at the time we needed this transition. It was very
glad to do it.
And enjoy your next job.
Yeah, we're slowly getting there. So that's good. I'll do my best.
Thank you for helping us navigate this year and helping us bring on a new CEO. It's been a really a pleasure to work with you this last few months.
Well, likewise, and I appreciate the kind words.
Okay. So the last two things I want to bring up really quickly is the Stuff the Bus event. This is a great opportunity for board members to show your support and go ahead and visit the locations. And do we have a flyer in here? It's 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. in
first,
okay,
Boulevard, 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. on Friday, and 6 a.m. to 7 p.m. on Friday, and Saturday 8 to 8 at the Walmart at Green Acres. And the community also is invited to bring non-perishable items, food items, to the locations so we can help serve families in need in the community.
And this is a great partnership that's been going on for many years. And so good opportunity for you to show your support as board members. You don't have to get dressed up fancy like you do for these meetings. And you can clean out your cupboards at the same time and help some community members in need. So wanted to invite everyone to participate in that. Last thing for the board, there is a board talk live happening on November 15th. That is virtual through APTA. Those are always opportunities for board members to interface with other board members in a closed format where you're not going to have staff involved. And so you can have some pretty candid conversations, and all of the topics are always relevant to your position as a board member. So I encourage you to sign up for Board Talk Live. You'll get a Zoom link, and it's for, I think, an hour and a half, 11 to 12:30, I think, on November 15th. So please attend if you can. So that's all my comments. I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to Mark.
Yeah, good job. One other thing I want to bring up, the employees did it, is a Socktober sock collection for the month of October. And I think it's for women's space, and they collected almost 400 pairs of socks to distribute. So, you know, we are out in the community. The stuff, the bus, has been going on for a long time, 27 years, I think, and it's always a really good event. And so we're out in the community helping any way we can. So I'm proud of our employees. They do a great job, and they're you know, really enthusiastic about it. So just wanted to say that, and that's all I have.
Okay. Camille, can you show us who, if we have attendees that are attending the meeting today?
Maybe not.
Okay, great.
Not that are visible through Zoom.
Got it. Thank you so much. Let's go ahead and start on our regular agenda. So we have no additions to the agenda, but do board members have any announcements they need to make at this time? Okay. All right. So in that case, we're going to start with our first presentation. So Cody, come on down. So Cody is the Employer Transportation Outreach and Marketing Specialist, and he is going to talk to us today about the LTD Employer Program update. Thank you for being here, Cody.
Can everyone hear me all right? Looks like the microphone is on. All right, wonderful. And Camille, you'll be controlling the presentation for me? Yeah. All right. Well, I appreciate you all giving me the opportunity today to sit in front of you and talk to you about the work that I do on a daily basis. Like Caitlin mentioned, my name is Cody Franz. I'm our Employer Transportation Outreach and Marketing Specialist. And that is a really long way of saying I'm out there in the community working with our local employers and their employees on finding solutions to get around our community. And so today I want to talk to you a little bit about our program, history of a little bit of what we've worked on, and kind of where we are going here in 2023. And before I really get to diving into it, I do want to say there's space and time at the end for questions, but you are more than welcome to interrupt me at any time. If it strikes you in the moment, I can roll with that. I can answer questions on the fly. So with that being said, you're all familiar with our mission, vision, and values. And I'm not sure what traditionally most individuals say, but I would like to take the opportunity to identify two of the values that I really find important in my work, and that is respect and equity. And when I'm out meeting with our community members, that is where I approach everyone with respect and figuring out how, again, we can meet people where they are, whether that means getting them information about transportation, transportation options, or finding other ways for like carpool partners and things like that. So really helping get our community around no matter what your needs are and your mobility concerns. Slide. Like I mentioned before, we're just gonna cover again our history of our LTD employer programs. We're gonna take a look at kind of pre-COVID, kind of what happened during COVID, and as we are coming out of our pandemic into the kind of COVID endemic and what's next. So as you can see, LTD has had a long history of value-added programs that really benefit our local business community. Started back in like 1995 with the development of commuter solutions, really focusing on those transportation choices. In the same year, we partnered with our first group pass program with the University of Oregon. And as we've continued on, Commuter Solutions, which eventually became Point-to-Point, started adding other programs in there. So you can see in the 2000s, we started our Vanpool program. We started our Emergency Ride Home program, and it continued to evolve from there into a regional approach of helping individuals get through walking and biking and busing and carpooling and all of those things. When 2020 hit, everyone was kind of shaken, and LTD took that opportunity to kind of really evaluate where we are and what our core functions are and what's important to us. And so we worked closely with our regional partners at LCOG to kind of transition our transportation options. LTD is focused more on our employer programs, which I'll touch on a little bit later. And our regional programs like Safe Routes to School, Community Walking, Community Biking are now housed at LCOG, and they're leading those regional efforts for us. Next slide, please. So I'm going to start talking just a little bit with our core program. This is the one I always lead in with. It's our Group Pass program. And for those board members that may not be familiar with it, it's a program that allows a business to purchase 100 bus passes for 100% of their employees, their students, residents of their housing complexes at an extremely discounted rate. So as you all know, if an individual is to walk down to customer service, a monthly pass would cost them $50. Businesses that are enrolled in our program, it costs $5.42 or $6.30, depending on if you're a payroll tax-paying business or a nonprofit. And so you can see that's a significant discounted rate and allows individuals to have choices about how they move around their community. So not only is it a huge discount, but it's a benefit. So organizations can find an inexpensive way to boost their recruitment and retention packages. It really supports employee wellness and health. It also does things like free up parking spaces for businesses. If the employees are not taking up those spaces, that's more room for customers to park and patronize your business. And we all know, no matter what, less cars on the road means cleaner air for us. We can move a whole lot more people in a bus than we can in single cars. And so really is a great way for us to give value added to that community. But not only does this program really benefit our business community, but it's a benefit and a value added to LTD, as this is a revenue generating program. And we're able to take this revenue and invest it back into our system, whether that's adding service or other programs that we would not be able to do if we didn't have this great program. So just a quick peek at kind of where we're looking at just participants in our program. You can see in 2020, we had 72 different organizations participating. As you can see in the middle, when COVID hit, we dropped it about half. I do want to put the caveat in there that along with COVID, we also transitioned to our electronic fare system and also developed some other pass programs. So for example, a lot of our schools are no longer in our program because now we have the student transit pass, and so they can get those for free. We also have our nonprofit pass program, which benefits other organizations. So a few of those had shifted into programs that fit them better. But a lot of, again, we just saw the shakeup in the business community with COVID. As you can see, it's 2022. We're starting to even out. Things are starting to kind of, the picture is getting a little clearer of what that landscape is looking like. And so we're at about 50 organizations, and we're adding about one or two every month or so. And so we're starting to see some great progress there. On to the next slide. The next program I'd like to talk about is our Vanpool program. And again, for those that may not be familiar with vanpooling, it's, you know, anywhere from 5 to 15 individuals who share a similar work commute. They may work in the same building. They may work in a similar location. They all come together. They split. They pay fares for this. You know, they split the cost of all these vans. LTD has a part of this. And so for us to encourage more vanpooling in our region, because again, transit can't be everything for everyone. And so vanpool is a great way for us to fill that in. We subsidize our vanpools up to $675 a month, depending on the size of the vanpool and how many riders are in there. So a great incentive to get those vanpool going. As you can see in 2020, we had a very robust vanpool program. We had over 16 or so that were operating in and out of our area, whether that's coming in or traveling up out of Eugene to Salem and Portland areas. COVID really hit our program hard. We had two operating in 2021. And now we are up to 5 in 2022. So we're making slow progress here. But again, it's another great program that benefits not only local employers and their employees, but again, it's a benefit for LTD as we report all of the vehicle revenue miles and boardings through our NTD reporting and receive funding back for those. Next slide, please. So now I want to talk a little bit about some of our other programs that are value added on top of those other two that we talked about. And the first one I talk about is emergency ride home. This program is what I like to call commuter insurance. And what it does is it provides individuals who are enrolled in our program with up to 4 free rides on it in a taxi to get home in case of an emergency. It really just helps provide that peace of mind that we all know that security of knowing that in a pinch, or if we have a sick child or partner, that we can get home to them and take care of them. And so it's a great, great value added. It costs an employer nothing but a few minutes to enroll in our program, and it costs the employee nothing but a little bit of time to contact the local taxi providers and to schedule that emergency ride home. Slide, please. And finally, our last program is our Employer Transportation Coordinator, or ETC, training. And these are our point of contacts at each of our business. And so these can range, and they can come from any department. Typically they're in HR, but sometimes we get other individuals who are rather passionate or things like that. And so what we do is we help provide them coaching to encourage using of transit and other transportation options, to help promote our emergency ride home program. We can also do things like help them with carpool matching and ride sharing at their organizations, and also just having us present at their sites, whether that's talking with their employees about their group pass or other benefits that we provide. We also developed in 2019 the Employer Transportation Coordinator Training Manual. It's one of the first one that I know of in Oregon, and there's a few out there. Stumbling over my words. There are others out there nationwide, but this is the first one developed here in Oregon. As we had talked before, we've kind of transitioned our programming, and so we are currently in the process of updating that manual so that we can redistribute that out to the community. And that's, again, it's a great go-to resource that has things like pre-made emails, other pre-made communications, so that those ETC coordinators can really get our messaging out there without having to do a lot of the heavy lifting and the legwork to get that process going. Next slide, please. So I mentioned a little bit before, as we've kind of looked at this pre-COVID and COVID and post-COVID things. And so through this, since I started in January, I've been trying to meet with some of our local businesses that have been a part of our past programs, those that have dropped out, some that have joined, just to kind of get a sense of what's going on out there. What challenges are they dealing with? And these are kind of the top three that have really come to mind and that kind of I hear over and over again. And so the first one's remote work. We all know that we had to go remote, most of us 100%. And a lot of organizations found value in that. And so they're continuing on with either all of their employees staying fully remote or most of them doing some sort of hybrid in-office teleworking kind of schedule. Again, that's been challenging, especially for our group pass and our van pool programs, as those businesses no longer see the value in providing transit for them to get to work because we no longer have employees coming into the office. Again, COVID-19, we've talked about it a lot, but individuals are still, and rightfully so, apprehensive to start jumping in large vehicles with individuals that are not from their household. And so again, we're handling and doing all the things that we can do to be supportive of that, whether that's giving out hand sanitizers. We work with Commute with Enterprise, who is our van pool provider, to ensure that the vans are clean and things of that nature. But again, that's something that's always going to be with us and that we're going to have to learn to navigate, and individuals becoming more comfortable with engaging in those kind of settings. And finally, we've really experienced a lot of businesses have sold to new ownership during COVID pandemic. And so a lot of these new ownership corporations are from out of state, and they are no longer seeing the value in providing a transit pass here locally. Again, it's been a few of our tech sector folk that have been kind of our longtime past providers, but again, just something that we are running into that I did not anticipate being a challenge. Slide, please. But with challenges always come success too. So I do want to talk about some of the great things that we have done and are continuing to work on. And so I'm proud to say we launched our section of the employer program on the website. It's been a great resource for all of our local employees to go into. And ever since we've made that transition, we're seeing more and more inquiries come through our website, through our forms to do that outreach. Our VanPool program, while it's small and mighty, we have more than doubled. So like I mentioned before, when I came on board, we had 2 VanPools and we're now up to 5 VanPools that are operating. And we've also seen our VanPools that are operating increase in size. So we're averaging about 10 riders per VanPool, which is great. So we have about 50 individuals partaking in that. Oh. And the group pass program, I'm happy to say that number is incorrect. We are now up to about 7 as we've added a couple new group pass participants in just the coming weeks since I put this together. And so though the landscape has changed a little bit, things are starting to settle and people are starting to see the value in having a transit pass and getting their employees options to get to and from work. Next slide, please. All right, so what's next in 2023? Whew, there's a lot going on. So we're going to do our next round of website updates. And so like I mentioned before, we're in the middle of updating our ETC toolkit. And so that's going to go live on our website in the beginning of 2023, where all of our ETCs can go right there and download all the information they need from the site in one-stop shop. We're going to be increasing our marketing efforts. So I'm going to be working closely with our local chambers and doing some real intense direct outreach on our high frequency transit network corridors, as well as our both of our downtown Springfield and downtown Eugene. Also working on developing a better relationship with the University of Oregon. We had a lot of VanPools that used to go to the university. And so we're working on rekindling those, as well as bringing awareness for the students to start using their transit pass. They get a free pass, and so a lot of them don't know that they have it. So we're working closely with the university to do a lot of marketing on campus and to encourage those students to not only download their free pass they're already paying for, but the places that they can go without their car and they can take it through transit. And finally, we're just kind of evaluating our group pass program as a whole. Traditionally, we've always done things like they must pay for 100% of all their employees, no matter what. And as I mentioned before, the landscape is changing. And so not all employees are reporting to the office. And so we're being a little nimble with that. And so working with those organizations to really define a program that's going to meet their needs. And so only paying for those individuals, say, that are coming into work instead of everyone. And then looking at what others are doing, some of our peer agencies, as I've reached out to some of my colleagues here locally and in other states, everyone's in a time of evaluation and figuring out what is the best solution and things that we can provide for our business and our community. So we're all looking at what's going on, and there could be some potential changes to our program, whether that's another discounted pass for participating in certain ways. So we're not sure what that looks like yet, but we're just evaluating the effectiveness of what we currently have and what are some options for us moving forward. And with that being said, and as I promised, there is time for questions or comments or anything of that nature, and I'll open the floor up to you all.
All right, what questions do you guys have or comments? Dawn.
Cody, early in your presentation, you talked about how LCOG was picking up some of the services
sure.
that we're providing. Mm-hmm. Is some of that money flowing to like Cascadia Mobility and the other microtransit sort of enterprises that are?
You know, I'm not 100% sure if I know the answer to that and can speak to it, but Teresa Brand is in the audience, and I'd like to pass to her if that's okay.
So, no, it's not. It goes straight to LCOG to do a defined scope of services that some of it has been outlined with our agreement with LCOG. Now it's been passed to the agreement today directly with LCOG. So, it's not, it would be up to LCOG to decide if they're going to use some of that money to go to other providers, but LTV does not do that.
So right now it's the city of Eugene that
yes, but also our money we're using, the money we've gotten from the state, we're using it through this agreement with LCOG. When that money runs out, we'll no longer be in an agreement. They'll just get the money directly after this money runs out, to be like another year. And so they'll get the money directly from ODOT to do a range of services for regional transportation options.
So will then LCOG be a QE for the state, or is LTD going to be?
Well, it's not really, it's not stiff funds, so it's not really QE, but okay. It will be They'll be the regional transportation options provider, and they'll go directly into the grant cycle and ask for money to continue to provide that service to the region. And they get local funds too.
They would request it through the STIP money.
It's not STIP money.
They won't get
money. It's fine. Okay. So that's a whole different process.
All right, thank you.
Go for it.
First of all, thank you for your work and your presentation. On the group pass program, you mentioned the cost per employee, and it sounds like you're looking at different ways of presenting that or changing it. What's the basis for the current fee? How did you come up with that dollar amount?
That is a great question. And that was decision was made well before I was started through our fair committee. And so any of those changes, I believe, has to go through our fair committee and then presented to the board for approval. And so I'm not sure when those were decided, but at least for the last 5 years or so, those have been our rates.
And from one board member's perspective, I would encourage you to, you probably already are, looking at those rates and seeing if those should change in order to improve the number of people participating.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for that feedback.
And the second question is the van pool. I'm not too familiar with it. Who drives?
It's individuals who are in the van pool. So it's on a volunteer basis. Things that some of our van pools do to encourage people to drive is they will offer a discount for every time that you drive. Some people are just really gung-ho, and as one of my colleagues put it, they're control enthusiasts and they just really would like to drive. So it's really up to that group. And
now I know what's going to go on my tombstone. Control enthusiast. Okay.
So it's just they work it out between themselves. It's an individual or two or more in that van, particular van pool.
Kind of sounds like a reality show.
I wouldn't, you know, I'm sure it'd be interesting if we had cameras in the van. Sure.
That was it.
Well, thank you for sharing that. And thank you for the feedback.
More comments and questions? Go ahead, Pete.
So you're saying earlier that you have about seven current group pass participants. Is that correct? Or
we have about 50 right now.
Oh, about 50.
So yep.
And you're adding one or two a month.
Yeah, we've added about seven since I began in January of this year.
Oh, okay. Okay. And so was there, during the pandemic, was there greater than 50 before the pandemic?
Absolutely. We had about 70 in 2020, and then that dipped down to about 40, 42 in 21. And then we're back up to around 50 here currently.
That's cool. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Michelle.
So on the van pool, and if I missed this, I apologize. These folks are going to one sort of central destination.
Mm-hmm.
Do they meet at a specific location? Like they have to drive to that location, park for the day or whatever that term is, and then?
Yeah, it kind of depends on the van pools. Traditionally, that's how they operate. Most of them meet at one of our mini park and ride locations, leave their vehicles during the day and take the whole van up and come back down. We've had van pools that will pick up individuals along the way, or we have some that make a couple stops to do drop-offs and pickups at their final destination.
Kind of depending where they're starting and
right. Where they need to end. Again, it's one of those pieces, same with the van pool who's driving. They all kind of work out what their agreements are and stops they're going to make and meeting points and things like that. That's really hashed out with those individuals that are actually using the service, but we're always here to kind of help them set some ground rules. And so we have a guide that we give them. There's some of the best practices for van pools to get them started. And then of course they'll add on to those.
Got it. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else?
All right, wonderful. Well, thank you for the opportunity to teach you all a little bit more about what I do every day. And don't hesitate to reach out to me if you have any further questions or if you have any businesses that you're meeting with that would be interested or prime candidates for our group pass or van pool programs. Thanks,
Cody. You did a great job. All right, let's go ahead and bring up Amy Reichart. She is going to talk about the strategic business plan refresh for fiscal year 2023. And are we zooming in Cole as well?
No.
Oh,
Okay. All right. Well, thank you all for being here and allowing me to share some about our strategic business plan. Tonight, we're going to be focusing specifically on our fiscal year 2023 refresh. And just so you all know, I'm Amy Reichert. I'm an IT project manager here at LTD. And I actually started my tenure at LTD around the time that we were finalizing this plan and getting ready to implement, and have been really excited to be involved. If Kalina were still here, she'd say jazzed. I'm really jazzed about strategy. I've had the opportunity to support this plan through its implementation, and now into we're about halfway through the plan. So what we're gonna focus on tonight, you can go ahead and forward for me. We don't have an agenda here. That's okay. I'll tell you what's on the agenda. We're gonna talk about what a refresh is, what changed and what didn't change in our mission, vision, values, our strategic areas of focus, prioritization, and our tactics. And I think this is actually the wrong deck. I think I sent you the wrong deck. So that's okay. I'm just gonna talk it out for you all. So what is a refresh? Basically, our plan is reviewed and refreshed at the start of each fiscal year to ensure that we have good alignment across our mission, vision, values, our strategic focus areas, and our tactical work. Our work is, it's not static, it's dynamic. So each year we wanna make sure we're taking a good look at how everything's coming together so that we're stopping the wrong work and starting the right work and continuing the work that's getting us to our outcomes. We have our mission, vision, and values, which that slide is correct in all of our slide decks, because we put in all of our slide decks because it really is what grounds us. The mission, vision, and values did not change in our refresh and likely won't change through the course of this strategic business plan, because we put a lot of time and effort into thinking through those, our connecting our community and all that we do. We're committed to creating a more connected, sustainable, equitable community. And we practice respect, integrity, innovation, equity, safety, and collaboration in all that we do. So no changes there. In terms of our strategic focus areas, we've got 5 strategic focus areas, which we've talked about them through each quarter, but those are customer satisfaction, employee engagement, community value, financial health, and sustainability. Those have not changed either, with the exception of in our customer satisfaction. When we originally designed the plan, we had set an outcome measure for ourselves of a net promoter score of 55%. Through the first year and doing a lot of investigation, looking at our historical baselines and also understanding the trends of COVID-19, we realized that was not the right success outcome for us. And so that's been revised to establish a baseline and improve by 5%. That otherwise, everything else has stayed the same in our strategic focus areas. We're still seeking to hit an employee engagement score of 65%, which is a composite of several different measures on our employee engagement survey. We're looking to establish a baseline for the percentage of the community that believes we provide value and improve by 5%. We have a financial health target of achieving a 3-year rolling financial plan targets. And our sustainability goal is a reduction of greenhouse emissions by 70%. So no changes there. Oh, good. This is the right presentation now. That's great. All right. And so in terms of prioritization, we didn't change any of the ways we're prioritizing. As y'all are probably familiar with, we have a scorecard. On that scorecard, we've allocated a certain number of points in each strategic focus area. No changes there at all. We're still prioritizing in the same way. Okay. And then next, we have our tactical review. So we did make some changes in our tactics. The most important thing to know about our tactical work is designed, again, this is kind of the living part of the plan. It's designed to drive us towards our strategic focus area outcomes and success in those areas. And so obviously that work's going to have to evolve over time. One core thing that we did across all tactics is updating milestones to reflect the work that we need to do in the current fiscal year. And then I'm going to walk you through some of the other specific tactical changes that we made as well. So next up in customer satisfaction, We added two new tactics, stabilizing running times on LTD's frequent transit network and the Eugene station modernization. And we also completed two tactics, enhance customer convenience and maintain on-time performance fixed route. And then we maintained the, a number of additional tactics with the new milestones for fiscal year 23. And then next up, we have our employee engagement area. So in this area, we completed our continuous improvement investigation tactic. And we actually, we didn't complete succession planning. We moved it to another area. So I'll talk about that in a second. And then we also added a tactic for transit operator employee engagement, as well as our operation command center project. And then everything else, again, we just redefined milestones for the current fiscal year. And next up in community value, we completed our IT disaster recovery tactic, getting a lot of really critical infrastructure in place. And then this is where we moved succession planning. We thought that this made a lot of sense to include as a community value tactic. And then again, continuing a large group of tactics with new milestones. And then next up, we have financial health. We added a new tactic, warranty program development and management, and then everything else remained on the plan with updated milestones for the current fiscal year. And then last, but certainly not least, we have sustainability. And in this area, we actually completed our electronic records management. We're in a stable state now with that, being led by Carrie Stewart, who's doing a fantastic job helping us wrangle our records. And then we are continuing our fleet procurement plan and looking at sustainability certifications. And that brings me to all of the kind of things that stay the same and the things that we changed and improved on. Any questions?
Gino, go for it.
There's obviously some scoring involved
yes.
here.
Yes.
Is it like a panel with judges? How does it work?
Yes, we have wizards that sign us special. No, we do a quarterly review of our tactical work. It's our group of tactic owners that are all sitting over here to my left to go through, and they determine how they're doing and their progress. So pretty simple classifications like work started, in progress, at risk. And we look at all of those tabulations, and then we have an actual scorecard where we collect metrics. There's, I can't think of it off the top of my head, but it within the scorecard, we collect the metrics for each of those defined measures. And that is actually, if you go to the next slide here, our next step in this process with you all is to report the Q1 results at our November 16th board session. So maybe I should say more to come, because you'll learn a little bit more about how we're doing that.
So the metrics are predetermined.
Yes, the metrics are predetermined, and we're looking at the same KPIs through the course of the plan, yeah. which is 2022 to 2024. So we're about halfway through.
That's impressive. My next comment or question is about moving ahead. Mm. I don't know if that's a tactic or strategy, but it seems odd that it's absent from the plan. Mm-hmm. When I see things like the Eugene station in the plan, I don't know if anybody can talk a little bit about that. Everybody's looking to the audience.
Yeah, I'll say one thing, and then I am going to punt it over to this group here. If we go back to customer satisfaction, the customer satisfaction slide, we did the tactic that we added around stabilizing running times on LTD's frequent transit network. I think we can think of this as like a very small parsed out piece of work that's tied to the bigger objective in moving ahead. Speaking from a strategy management standpoint, I think that the breaking it down into that level of like tactical definition in a plan is really beneficial. And we would want to keep doing that year over year. There might be a new moving ahead specific tactical work that we're focusing on. Your next question might be, well, why do we have something like OCC or ES, Eugene Station Modernization? I do think there's a difference. It's not apples to apples comparing a planning project with a construction project. So that would probably be my answer, but now I've spoken a lot and I'll turn it over to the experts here.
Yeah.
So, great question. We've had several conversations internally and externally about moving ahead and about the impacts. Some things that some call out behind it and how it's moving forward or not moving forward. One of the things that we're going to be bringing to the board is an assessment of our organization, how we handle outreach. Heard stories about going to different outreach meetings and students, the same thing with LTD is not special that way. That happens across transit. You see the same folks in these types of meetings. Our level of transparency has been called into question in terms of how do we gather that feedback, how does that get put into the planning process and the decision-making process? And then also, how do we communicate? How do we tell our story? It has to be about more than just ridership. I think you'll see that the Trans-Dash project will help us with that. How do we take that data and turn it into their information in a target audience in an effective way so that they understand what we're doing? The other component, so we'll be coming to the board with a plan with a scope, with some consultant work on that. The idea behind that is to influence or inform all of our projects moving forward, how we move forward, not just moving ahead, but how we move forward as an organization with our community. So I think that's a bigger piece. As we refresh the strategic plan, tactics around moving ahead will fall out of that. We'll be able to include those in there. Mm-hmm. But Gino, the other thing I want to say is that part of the plan that we're putting together includes an external steering committee. So there's certain key members of the board on that steering committee for the project. But we want to make sure that the business community keeps the lights on, are able to impact and co-create, this is Tom's term, co-create with us and how we move forward this way. So you'll get more of that in the upcoming meeting where the staff is working on that scope. We want to run that by you to see if we're going to leave room in there for change orders because we don't know what's going to be added once voices get to a table. But we want to make sure that's transparent so we can implement best in class, whatever that may be. In terms of transparency and outreach, some more to come, Evan, for strategic refresh.
So, in summary, what you're saying is there's some work to be done before you can even create the tactics that would go into a strategic plan.
Yeah, I mean, so if we're talking about community values, the value that the community places on what we have to learn that. We have to learn what that looks like, and what that sounds like, what's actually operational.
Great. Thank you.
Go ahead, Susan.
Thank you for that. I think that's going to be a really positive thing for the community and for LTD moving forward. I just wanted to say to Amy and to Camille, what amazing teamwork. You know, getting the you didn't get flustered and Camille just brought it in. So I have to say that was just an amazing example of working together. Congratulations.
Thank you. Other questions for Amy? Go ahead, Don.
I didn't know if this is particular for Amy, but I wanted to focus on the sustainability part. I know that's we've got 10 points there and we've essentially completed a good part of what did, but I know when Kelly Hale was working with sustainability, she had some program with the federal agencies and they were doing stuff. I haven't heard anything about what happened and then she's gone. And so I don't know if we have a coordinated effort with the Federal Transit Authority. Or...
I'll definitely take that as a question to go back to Matt. He might be on the, he's not on the. I'm wondering if you're talking about the APTA sustainability certifications. One of the tactical areas is aligning with APTA's sustainability certifications. And they actually did put their program for getting certifications on hold in order to evaluate it internally and come up with a better set of criteria and just better alignment with what's happening in transit. So that's still one of our tactics, but there hasn't been a lot of movement because it's dependent on APTA's revamping of the certification processes. I'm not sure if that's what you were talking about, though.
It might be that we also are earning carbon credits for our electric bus fleet. And so we're in that program that we sell those back. And we haven't given an update on that in a while. And we should, because we're actually, the more electric buses we have, the more credits that we're getting. And so
I'm just remembering, I think it was from the APTA meeting 2 years ago that there was a presentation from, I believe, the FTA or someone there about coordinating these things. I remember talking to Kelly about it, and she was already involved and very familiar with all the pieces.
Okay.
I'll
look into that more. If it is the sustainability certifications, that's still on our, it's in our work plan, and that we're keeping track of what's happening with APTA. We also will, in terms of the 10 points, like you mentioned, we'll learn more to come, get excited. We've got some really great results to share at the regular board work session, but we do still have a couple of points to earn in sustainability tied to our fleet, the procurement of our electric buses, and that's the big area for us. Yeah.
Okay. I just wanted to see if it had fallen away and was not being considered or is still on the tactics. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah.
Okay, other questions? Michelle, go ahead.
I'm really happy to see transit operator employee engagement on the plan. I think that's, given some of the things we've been hearing from that area, a really good thing to see on there. And just kind of wondering if you're at a place where you can kind of give us maybe what that strategy looks like, or what the goal is there. What does that engagement look like
for
success?
I can speak at a high level there. I can actually dig into the tactic too, but at a high level, it is engaging the operators in more better communication. They've already, I do want to call out, since I have the floor here, Becky Crow and Julie Womack are two of our staff working on this, and they came up with this tactic, and it's a communication tactic essentially to get the operators more engaged in what's happening on a day-to-day basis in at LTD in our own home, as well as in the community. So they've released their first, I think it's called TOPS. Is that right? It stands for Transit Operation Public and Public Safety. It's a newsletter. And then there are a number of additional milestones there. In the board materials that I shared, I think it did have that tactic mapped out in there. I'm happy to find it here though and tell you some of the other work.
And high level is fine.
Okay.
Like I said, I'm really glad to see it on there.
Great. It's a communication tactic, and it is really about making sure everybody is connected in what we're doing and how it's important and what the challenges are and what we're doing to address those challenges.
Great. Thank you for that.
Go ahead, Pete.
Did I hear you correctly in that you said that you'd completed some tactics had been completed, and then new tactics had been added into one of the focus areas? Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. I think in all of the focus areas, there was at least one new tactic added. And in most cases where tactics were added, it was there was also work being completed.
So it continues to be a living document.
Correct. Yes, that's right. And exactly. It's a living document. It's a living document in that we know the work has to continue to be planned for. And if we were to write a 3-year plan, 4-year plan, and say this is all the work we're going to do and all the milestones we're going to achieve for 3 years, and not look at those milestones critically, we may find that we mapped out work that we don't need to do anymore, and that's, you know, that's a problem too. So I think that's part of the approach here, is that it's a dynamic strategic process.
So you continuously looking at this, you come up with a quarterly report, but you look at these tactics, is that a continuous process?
The revision of the tactics right now is an annual process. So we're not you know, we don't want to move the target on ourselves either. We do need to set something and strive for it. So right now the cadence is we have the refresh is annual. So update, looking critically at the milestones and tactics annually, and then reporting on our progress of those quarterly.
Okay. Thank you.
More questions?
It's definitely exciting to see things that say completed and crossed off the list. I'm sure you remember, like many in this room, when this process was started. And so to actually see the word completed feels like a pretty good win, right? Okay, any last comments, questions? Well, thanks for the presentation and glad we got to see the slideshow. You did a great job and we just appreciate you being here tonight and looking forward to the board meeting on the 16th when we get to hear about, is it Q1 23 Q1 progress? Okay. That was me guessing.
Yes. And you're that's right.
So that.
Yep.
Okay. All right. So that's actually all that we had on our agenda for this evening. So we get to adjourn early and I'll see everyone at our board meeting on November 16th. And thanks for being here. Everyone looks great. And I don't know why that's funny. You guys normally dress like this, right? Okay.
She's not.
All right. Calling adjourning the meeting now.